This is Jay Sekulow. The Clinton campaign acknowledges that it was Hillary Clinton who created the mess over the $12 million from Morocco.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
A conversation from Clinton staffers showing a $12 million donation that Hillary Clinton secured for a speech in Morocco, and apparently it was all of her idea. Wilma Abedin writing to John Podesta and Robin Mook saying she created this mess and she knows it, end quote.
What's interesting about this particular email is the fact that Wilma Abedin actually is saying, look, she's the one that's personally, she's creating this mess, right? And Hillary Clinton was the one that was personally involved in this negotiation with the Moroccan government.
According to an email from Abedin, responding to top aides Podesta and Robbie Mook, they were worried it would harm the April 2015 launch of the former Secretary of State's campaign. Abedin replied, the condition upon which the Moroccans agreed to host the meeting was her participation. This was HRC's idea. Our office approached the Moroccans, and they 100% believe they are doing this at her request. The king has personally committed approximately $12 million.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Why isn't what happened and what went on between you and the Clinton Foundation, why isn't it what Mr. Trump calls pay to play?
Well, everything I did as Secretary of State was in furtherance of our country's interests and our values. The State Department has said that. I think that's been proven. But I am happy. In fact, I am thrilled to talk about the Clinton Foundation because it is a world-renowned charity.
Respectfully, this is an open discussion.
Well, it is an open discussion.
I understand, and the specific question went to pay for play. Do you want to talk about that?
But there is a lot of evidence about the very good work
and it's a criminal enterprise, and so many people know it. It's a criminal enterprise.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So literally just hours after the debate where Hillary Clinton was pressed pretty aggressively by Chris Wallace on the whole pay-to-play allegations with the Clinton Foundation, a new batch of WikiLeaks emails surfaced with charges that the candidate herself, she was then a candidate for President Hillary Clinton, she was no longer the Secretary of State, but the candidate herself was at the center of negotiating a $12 million commitment from the King of Morocco if, in fact, she would speak. Now, what's so fascinating about this, Huma Abedin, who is her longtime aide, who's had her own set of controversies, described the connection between the Moroccans and Hillary Clinton as, quote, her own idea. She created this mess and she knows it. Now, I'm going to tell you that this is not an illegal situation. This is not a question of was it illegal to do this. The question is, can you do this and run for president of the United States when she's the one talking about outside influence and, quote, dark money coming in, Jordan?
That is the bizarre part. I mean, she did it last night again at a dinner in a joking way, but that it's Donald Trump is being influenced specifically by the Russians. We keep hearing the Putin comments. And the truth is that it's the Clinton charities, just in the last few years, we're not talking a long history of business, international business that the Clintons have been involved in. They've been involved in public service. So just in the last decade, all of these millions of dollars from foreign leaders, mostly monarchies, in countries that have very poor human rights records.
Well, and Than, how's it sitting from your vantage point here? I mean, the atmospherics look bad, but again, not necessarily illegal, but just bad-looking atmospherics.
Well, I think the biggest news out of the newest email, Jay, is that Hillary Clinton was at the center of the negotiations, and maybe this point as well. She herself knew this was at least an optic problem. She knows that a campaign for president cannot receive foreign dollars. Now, the campaign was not receiving, it was the Clinton Foundation, but she acknowledged before receipt of this that this was going to look like a pay-for-play and foreign governments involved in the U.S. election. She knew it was a problem.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, folks. Serious atmospherics here. All right, we've got a lot more to talk about, including a poll coming out of Utah. We'll talk about that. Logan, let everybody know what they can do to engage the conversation.
You can join us on Facebook and Periscope. That's Facebook.com/JaySekulow or Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting live there right now. And again, it's a great way to get your comments in. Phone lines are jammed right now, but they'll open up 1-800-684-3110.
We've got an email going out today to all of our subscribers about our work on the pro-life front. We encourage you to sign on to that and support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. He handed out immunity to protect the Clinton team from prosecution. He put President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton's political legacy ahead of the law. He made secret deals to destroy evidence, thwarting congressional subpoenas. That's called obstruction of justice, and it's a crime. President Obama's FBI director violated the law. He violated his oath of office. It's corruption at the highest level, and it's time for the FBI director to go. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
To the broadcast, everyone, taking your calls, taking your comments. We got an interesting comment came in, Logan, there from Facebook, from Cheryl.
Sure, Cheryl Santos said, I know at this point we shouldn't be shocked with Hillary, but I am almost every day.
Because the, look, they were aggressive in their fundraising. There's nothing, I understand that. I mean, she's running, they're running a foundation. The problem is, you're doing that while you're running for president, creates a whole host of problems. All right, let's go right to the phones. We got a lot of people calling in. This is Friday. We'd like to get as many calls in as we can. So who do we have, Logan?
All right, let's go to Steve in Palm Beach, Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Great.
Hey, first off, I just want to say that I'm a conservative Christian, and I am voting for Trump. With that being said, we in the country ought to be embarrassed that we're the greatest country on the face of the earth. We have over 300 million people on this country, and the best two candidates we can come up for the president of the United States, our highest office, is Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Well, you know, we live in a constitutional republic, and the people have the right to engage the political process, unlike in some other countries, and they, both of them, ended up winning the primaries. Now, there is an interesting dynamic that is taking place. I'm going to kind of tie this in Utah, and that is the third-party candidate. There are several independent candidates, Jill Stein for the Green Party. Who's the governor from?
Gary Johnson,
Libertarian.
Still has polls at 5-7%. He's really done horrendous in most of his interviews. So anytime he has gotten the attention of the media, he's totally flubbed it.
Yeah.
And I really don't think he's going to get maybe more than 4 or 5.
I think they're
overpolling these numbers because people, I don't think, want to tell pollsters Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, right. I do think there's underpolling there. Now, interesting, though, in Utah, Evan McMullen is running as a third-party, independent, conservative, kind of write-in on some. I think he's in 15 states, Joseph Williams was telling me this morning. But he's on the ballot also in Utah. And I want to look at this for a moment. And let's get some comments, folks. Get some comments into Logan and on this to our social media team. You can do this. I want to know what you're thinking about these third-party candidate runs, or Evan McMullen, who's running as a social conservative. He is a social conservative, former CIA agent. But he is actually right now on the Real Clear Politics average, while it is still Donald Trump up in Utah +5. The Emerson poll, which is the most recent poll, actually has McMullen up by 4, and that would mean he would take Utah if that were to stay true. What does it mean, and how does it look? I want to kind of get comments from people on what do they think about these third parties, but Jordan, what do you think about this one?
Utah is usually not close at all, so no one has to spend money there. The Democrat knows they're going to lose. The Republican knows they're going to win. And it's a pretty big margin. It's a heavy LDS community. So it's more socially conservative, more typically just Republican voters. And it does not have the changing demographics like other Western states have been experiencing, more like Nevada and Arizona, where you've got a bigger Hispanic vote, which is shifting those which used to be reliably red states,
yeah,
more to the purple and even leaning Democrat. In Utah, you had a state which was a gimme for Republicans.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of gimmies for Republicans anymore. Yep. There's a lot of gimmies for Democrats, not a lot of gimmies for Republicans.
Yeah.
Evan McMullen has changed that. And if you go three ways on this, you understand Hillary Clinton could technically win it. Donald Trump could still edge it out, but may need to spend resources there to do so. And you could have a third-party candidate who actually takes these electoral votes.
Logan, are we hearing anything? I saw one social media comment come up already. One person said they are actually voting for McMullen.
Yeah, Vicky said on Facebook, she said, personally, I'm most likely going to vote for McMullen. However, my vote won't really matter in a heavily blue state of Maryland.
Right.
So comments like that. But then there's also Tony with the opposite, said third parties are waste of votes.
So then how is it? Yeah, how's it playing up there? I mean, it's a principled run, I think. What is McMullen? I'm not trying to discredit McMullen in any way. I think, look, I mean, he's working hard to try to get his message out there. I don't think it's going to be a major breakthrough. I mean, the plan was the idea that it would somehow get, I mean, it gets very complicated here, that if he were win enough votes, that it may throw this thing to the House, which is what set forth in our United States Constitution. The reality is that it doesn't look that way now, because it doesn't look like it's going to be in the Electoral College. Doesn't look like it's that close right now, but who knows? I mean, it's under polling. What's the sense in D.C. on this, on his run?
Well, that's what makes Evan McMullen, his run, a little bit different than Gary Johnson's. I mean, Gary Johnson is on the ballot in all 50 states. He's going to get more popular votes than Evan McMullen in all likelihood, but Gary Johnson is not going to win a state. I mean, New Mexico is where he would point to as having a chance. I really think that's a long shot. Evan McMullen may win Utah, and you're right. In theory, that could throw it to the House, but I got to tell you, Jay, if Evan McMullen is going to win a state like Utah, I think that is probably one of the stronger signals yet that Hillary Clinton is in a very good position to win in the Electoral College.
Well, Jordan wants to comment on that, but let me say something about the it is very rare for an independent to win a state. I mean, the last time that's happened, I think, was George Wallace.
It'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, it's his home state, but still, I mean, we're to win a state. It sends a big message. Yeah,
you don't want to have to discount it. But you can look at it and say, okay, you know, he's got the religious makeup of this very unique state in the country. He's LDS. It's an LDS, dominant state, which is unique for everywhere else. Yes, typically Republican, but not as conservative as a southern state, a southern red state. It's not like that kind of conservative. So you've got your Mike Lees, but you also have your Orrin Hatches, and you get like kind of a unique Republican representation there. At the same time, what I would say is I agree with Dan. You haven't seen this momentum move anywhere else.
Right.
Because of that, there's not another handful of states. And even if there were just a handful more, it's more likely that right now is those are taking Republican states. They're not like, it's not putting any Democrat electorate. And it's only making Utah a possibility for Hillary Clinton. Maybe. I mean, that is one way to look at it right now, because it didn't get a lot of national traction.
Yeah. So is there a sense, Logan, what you're watching on social media? What are people saying about this?
Yeah, some people don't know who he is. Never even heard about this. Not
that's like 90% of the country polled. Like no one, if you're outside these few states.
Yeah.
A lot of people think it kind of angers them that it could go away from into the Congress siding instead of, or the House siding instead of what the people want.
Yeah.
So even if Hillary is to win, they don't like the fact that, yes, we can get away from that. We can get away from that. That is the law. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then what's the point if he wins just one state? It gives Hillary the vote. That's from George. But in general, he's on the ballot in Utah and on other states. And then he's accessible. A lot of people are curious about write-ins. That comes up a lot.
Yeah.
For a lot of the states, if you're not.
You can write them in, but you have to be registered.
Yeah. For a lot of states, if you write in someone, you don't get tallied unless you're someone who's on the registration.
Right.
And he is in most states, and I think you can figure that out yourself.
Yeah. But anyway, so it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. But Utah's 6th Electoral College. All right, let's go right back to the phones at 800-684-3110.
Let's go to Ronald in California.
Hey, Ronald.
Or Colorado, I'm sorry.
Hey, Ronald, it's Friday. We'd like to get as many calls as we can. You're on the air.
Hello, Jay.
Hey, sir.
How are you?
Good. You're on the air.
I think Donald Trump probably won the first part. But after that, I don't know who won.
Are you talking about the debate?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we talked about that yesterday. I think the issue on the debate is, I watched it again last night, actually. Substantively, But before the comment about, and I talked about that yesterday, before the comment about the, you know, taking the, will you take the results of the election, which I told you legally what Donald Trump said was not incorrect. It came off the wrong way, maybe, but it wasn't incorrect. That he had, on substance, I thought they both gave a very good performance, both he and Clinton. The fact is, they have very different worldviews. You look at the abortion issue, you look at international affairs. We're going to get to some of the international affairs issues. But I think at the end of the day, and I think at the end of the day here, this is the real question you got to ask. Donald Trump has kind of clarified his statement on the results. Let me play soundbite 13 here.
Of course, I would accept a clear election result, but I would also reserve my right to contest or file a legal challenge in the case of a questionable result.
So that's the way it should have been said, and I would have referenced Bush versus Gore, but I think that puts that controversy is over with now. We're less than, how many days out are we? 18 days out to the election?
A lot of people have already voted. So.
Yeah, and the voting is starting, so some of this really doesn't matter.
Yeah, the polls still show a pretty tight race, considering how the media is portraying it. And so I don't think you want to overtalk that it's totally over. Now, if you do go by the state-by-state polls, Hillary Clinton has a big electoral lead right now. But if Donald Trump overperforms just a couple percentage points more here and there, you've got ultimately a very close election night. At this point, I believe Donald Trump is losing, but I don't think it's impossible for him yet. There's still, politically speaking, a long time to go here. The WikiLeaks stuff keeps coming out. Still, and I agree with Charles Krauthammer, with all of those leaks,
Well, it's not a lot of substance.
It's hurting, but it's not, no smoking gun yet.
Now, they say there's another 25,000.
Today, they'll release more, and there's back and forth, but it's kind of like back and forth of people that are having direct conversations about business, and they may not want to have these conversations publicly the way it sounds, but it's not, there still has not been something that would, I think in a normal election year, would probably disqualify that candidate in a electoral way, not legal
This
way.
Is not elect. This not is not normal. Normal
she's got. Year. She's going against Donald Trump, but I think even last night, we haven't spent a lot of time on that.
Yep.
He after a debate where he has been cast as the loser.
Yeah.
That's just based on everybody, conservative and Democrats. He had another rough night last night.
You're talking about Dale Smith.
He was the person booed.
Yeah. Well, and he should have known that going in. I've got a theory on that one. Well, we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. We got a lot more ahead. All right, Logan, let people know what they can do to stay engaged. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Yep, phone lines are jammed, but they will open up at 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us on Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org. However you get media, you can find the radio show.
How do you
show
know
there.
They're
going to
open up?
Well, they do.
You do? You just know.
I have a feeling.
You have a feeling. All right, we'll take more calls when we come back.
We take calls.
I know.
They open up.
There you go. All right, we'll be taking more calls. It is Friday. We take as many calls as we can. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, we've got an email out on our pro-life work. Your support for that's critical at aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. He handed out immunity to protect the Clinton team from prosecution. He put President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton's political legacy ahead of the law. He made secret deals to destroy evidence, thwarting congressional subpoenas. That's called obstruction of justice, and it's a crime. President Obama's FBI director violated the law. He violated his oath of office. It's corruption at the highest level, and it's time for the FBI director to go. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
I want to start this segment off. We're going to get right to the phone calls here. But, Than, what is your sense of where the – I mean, it's Friday. There's only, what, two more Fridays left and it's Election Day? Is that correct? How many Fridays left until we have an election for President of the United States? We'll find that out. But where do you – kind of what's your sense of it right now?
Well, I think there's two more Fridays before the election, Jay. Okay. Listen, I think Jordan hit it right on the head in the last segment of the broadcast. Hillary Clinton is ahead in the Electoral College. But I would say this to our listeners. If Donald Trump overperforms the poll numbers by 3 or 4%, and he claims he is going to do that, if he is going to change the electorate just by that margin, 3 or 4%, the big lead that Hillary Clinton has in the Electoral College, that would be gone. I mean, 3 or 4% in the popular vote is all Donald Trump would need to close that gap. So 2.5 weeks, it's not unthinkable.
You know, by the way, we were talking about the third party situation with Evan McMullen. He is actually registered in 32 states as a registered write-in, so that means the votes will count. But Jordan, that does not mean he will show up on the ballot.
You have to write him in.
You have to write it in.
But some states, Utah, he's on the ballot.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In some states, he's actually a choice. And you know, in some states, they all have different laws. Some you can just pay a small fee and you're on the ballot. Others you have to get a certain amount of signatures, and you know, you can't go through all 50 right now. At the end of the day, they got on as many as they could with the way the laws are set up in other states. Yeah. The printing time,
it's tough.
That
yeah,
it is tough that late. And then they get the write-in rule. So there are, it's interesting, you may want to look in your own state, because there are people talking about writing in this and that. In many states, you'll write in, if you just write in like a random name, it is kind of discounted.
Yes.
It doesn't really, it just is kind of a, you voted, but it does not register. So you want to check to see if you are
leaning that
if
way.
If there's someone you wanted to vote for, if you're in a state that you can do a write-in that gets counted.
Yeah.
I think that's
true for Senate too, right? I mean, down take it too. Yeah.
I think
it's true all the way around.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call here.
All right, let's go to Martina on line 5 from Iowa. You're on the air.
Hi, Martina.
Hello.
Yep.
My question is, there's been some talk on posts on the internet about a comment that Hillary made at the debate about the response time for nuclear weapons.
Yeah, there was. I've seen this running around on, you know, the 4 minute response time. Go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, pretty much. The government came out and say everyone kind of knows this. This is very public information that it's somewhere around 4 minutes. That's been stated over and over and over again publicly
for about 30 decades.
Right.
30 years.
Yeah.
So the normal response time for God forbid, it'd be horrible if there was a nuclear incident.
So no, she didn't give away anything.
Yeah, there was not anything new in that. It's about 4 minutes, and that has been discussed since, I think, the 1970s.
Yeah, I feel like I've always known that.
Yeah, I don't think any great shock there. All right, let's take another call.
All right, let's see who's my hold. Let's go to Carino from Georgia on line 6.
Hey, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Nice to meet you, Jay Sekulow.
Great.
How are you doing?
Good.
Right. Yes. Now, my comment, I have more of a comment than a question.
Okay.
Now, how did we get to this point? In the beginning of this election,
let me tell you how you got to the point. Is we live in a constitutional republic. We have two major parties. They put up their candidates, and at the end of the day, the two candidates that won, Donald Trump, won more votes and state by state than all the other 16 candidates, and Hillary Clinton beat Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley, and I can't remember the other person that was running. So that's how you got there, because it's just the people make that determination. They have super delegates, but even in the popular vote, Hillary Clinton won their popular vote. So that's how it got there.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? I don't want to cut you off there.
The Clinton Foundation seemed to be a
Well, look, the Clinton campaign, people are criticizing the Clinton. I mean, look, policy-wise, I get it, the differentials. But I will tell you this. I mean, I think they say Bernie Sanders, it was taken away from Bernie Sanders. He had 3 million less votes than Hillary Clinton did in the primary process before you even get into the superdelegates.
Yeah, if you want to get upset with the process, he's on the stump for.
Yeah.
So you think Bernie Sanders is pure political candidate. He's been elected official his entire life. So he's been playing the game of politics his whole life. If he was such a hard left socialist who really believed all of his rhetoric, he'd be more like the Republican candidates who won't go on the stump for Donald Trump. There are a lot of Republicans who will not go and campaign for Donald Trump. Paul Ryan, Jeb Bush. I mean, the list goes, you go through a whole host of candidates who ran.
Yep.
Marco Rubio, who says he will vote, but he's not actually encouraging anyone and not judging anybody based off that. He's on the ballot again. So you got all these presidential candidates who took this more, I guess, just policy-based decision. Not Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Not on the left. On the left, you always see great unity. And I think that's just the difference between the two parties.
Yep. All right. Let's take another phone call.
Yep. Let's go to Phil in Texas. You're on the air.
Hey, Phil. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing today, sir?
Good.
All righty. I'm a person that's voting third party. I have not voted for a Republican candidate since 1990, and I just basically was done with the two-party system. And
so who are you voting for as your third party? If you don't mind me asking, you don't have to tell me, but who are you looking at?
I'm looking at Gary Johnson. He's the one that's basically right on the issues when it comes to the economy.
So the libertarian vote. You know, he had an interesting thing about Gary Johnson, who was a Republican governor, was he had a start that looked like they thought they was going to get to 15%, but it just did not go anywhere.
That was part one is that if you don't make the debate stage as a kind of main third party, then you're in real trouble because you don't get into the debate.
Yeah.
Part two was he knew nothing about foreign policy. Every time he was asked about it, it was a disaster. And I think most people then said this is not a serious candidate. There was even talk that his running mate was going to drop out of the race. The list goes on. He kind of did himself in. He probably had a shot at getting to the debate stage, didn't prep enough, was too much just like kind of like the weed candidate, I'd say.
Yeah, he doesn't really line up on the issues with a lot of our listeners. So
they are moving more libertarian.
Yeah.
People are moving that way. I think Trump plays, he goes into that too, is it kind of this free capitalism and morals are not as important as personal choices.
That's what they
are.
And
Gary Johnson goes to that to the extreme. There was a big base for that. I think there was the 15%+ for that.
But he just never could capitalize on it.
Well, it was his own fault. He messed up so many questions about foreign policy.
All right. Do we have time for one more call, Logan, before break?
Very quickly. We'll try it. Let's go to Diane in Glendale, Arizona.
Hi, Diane. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I have two quick comments.
Yep.
During the debate, Hillary Clinton was talking about the Clinton Foundation and all the good work they had done, and she made the claim that 90% of what has come into the foundation has gone out again.
Yep.
And no one called her on it, because I have always read they have only used 10% of what has come in.
Yeah, they have audited. I haven't looked at it, so I don't want to give you a legal conclusion here. They've got audited financial statements. They're regulated by the state agencies and the federal government. So I don't know. I think, look, some of this Clinton Foundation discussion is we had it because it's a big news story today about the $12 million. As I said, it wasn't illegal. It just has this kind of atmospherics of foreign money. But the fact is, it's not illegal. But it's sending the wrong signal when she's the one complaining about our system and corruption and dark money coming in. So I think that's where the real problem is. All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. Logan's going to let you know all the ways you can get the broadcast, and I'm going to ask you to do something for us.
That's right. You can join us online many different ways. Facebook, Periscope, just search for Jay Sekulow, broadcasting live there right now. You can also find it on ACLJ.org. You can watch live. Looks great there as well. I can't get your comments in that way, but Facebook and Periscope are good to go for getting in comments. You can also call us when lines open up, 1-800-684-3110. If this is where we lose you, you got to get back to work or do whatever you need to do. You can get this show archived later on the ACLJ app, available for all iOS devices, including Apple TV, also Roku. You can watch this show each day and all of our films and the Jay Sekulow Live podcast.
All right, very good. And I'm going to ask you folks, if you're getting our emails today, and if you're not, you should be at ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ, especially as we're dealing with these pro-life fights out in California. ACLJ.org, any amount you donate, we really appreciate for the ongoing work of the ACLJ. Again, ACLJ.org. We'll take your calls. We come back from the break. And don't forget, like us on Facebook and share our information. We'll talk to you in a moment.
FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Yes, everyone. That's the Jay Sekulow Band's version of the song Long Time. And boy, this election seems like it's been coming for a long time. But as Stan Bennett pointed out in the last segment of the broadcast, we are just two Fridays away from election. And Logan, you don't want us to do live election night coverage.
I do not want to do live election night coverage.
Because, yeah.
Because I'll have better things to do. No, I'd like to watch it. Right, and see what happens. I think we'll have an election called by like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, but, probably.
I think you can.
Well, go ahead.
You can call the election
you
now.
You can like, do the election night covers tonight based on.
I mean, there'd be like a few states you go, but those would be like not in.
Oh, I'm not
going to
read the comments that we're going
to
get.
Yeah,
now.
Oh, we'll get people. Don't get mad at us. It's Friday, folks. We're just trying to look at the reality. Look, Jordan wants to talk. Let me just say one thing and then say, you know, we started the broadcast out about this $12 million. With the King of Morocco and the Hillary Clinton. He's like, you can't make this stuff up. $12 million. She's talking to the King of Morocco. I'll speak if you give the money to the foundation. She wasn't a Secretary of State then, but she was running for president. And she's the one complaining about Citizens United. I think, give me a break. Yep. But having said that, since we are just two Fridays out for the election of the next president of the United States, which is shocking to me that that's where we are. Jordan asks, is there an enthusiasm gap right now? And I'd kind of like to know from people on Facebook and Periscope, and if there are, because the callers so far from our radio audience have certainly been not so enthused, to be blunt. So we'll see.
And I've felt like Hillary Clinton's been the one who suffered from that the most up until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Calling her the nasty woman, that's become like a rallying cry now. So he's created.
That doesn't help.
He's created rallying cries for Hillary Clinton that she didn't have. She didn't have in the liberal base. She didn't have among activists. She didn't have among mainstream. But by the way, those T-shirt sales are going directly to Planned Parenthood. So those all those are. It's again, it's helping the interest groups out who have supported her. But they're now. I think they have this kind of grassroots support she was lacking.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is? When you listen to the debate, and as I said, I listened to the debate again last night. The whole thing again over. I mean, their stance on abortion are so different. I mean, it is night and day. Now, people are saying, well, I don't know if Trump believes it or he doesn't believe it. You know, but see, what they're saying, what the platforms say, are so vastly different on that issue. It's a stark comparison, to say the least. All right, let's go right to the phones.
All right, a lot of people have been holding for a while. Yep. Let's go to Dennis in Georgia.
Hey, Dennis.
You there, hello, Dennis? Gentlemen.
Good.
You're on the air.
Yes. You already answered my primary question about Trump's statements yesterday about the election acceptance. But I have two quick questions for you.
Yeah.
Now, well, no, I have a statement and a question. Number one, Johnson's running mate came out about 2 weeks ago in an interview and said that the only reason they were running was to stop Trump and that they were going to lose the Libertarian Party after that. I don't know if you've heard that.
He's been a Libertarian for a long time, though. I mean, he's been their candidate a couple of times or been up for candidate a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he keeps winning in that process. I mean, there are Libertarians that are kind of upset with him. But he knows how to go through the apparatus and get the nomination. So,
and I think the Libertarians probably had a little bit of, as Jordan said earlier, I mean, I think they had a little bit of a shot on this one, but they just have done so poorly. I'll tell you where they got. When they said, you know, when he was on Joe Scarborough's broadcast and was asked about what he would do in Aleppo, and he said, what's an Aleppo? I mean, that was kind of, people said, that's okay. It. That was
then
kind
he
of.
Had another Aleppo.
And then he had another Aleppo.
A foreign dignitary. That he liked,
and it didn't seem like he could even come up with like a foreign leader. I mean, you know, it's again, are they gotcha questions? Aleppo's not. I mean, the foreign leader one, maybe you don't want to. He kind of said I look up to these people, but you could have just again,
you could have answered it if you knew the material. All right,
could have said some names and said I don't necessarily.
I want
to
get fans.
Here are some names I know.
Good partners and allies with the U.S.
He gets these days. All right, Dan, I'm going to give you we're at the end of our first segment here, but I want to get your sense of this. Is this FBI issue that they're pushing now on I saw Jason Chaffetz, is it going to go somewhere?
I think it actually will continue after the election, Jay. It's almost a shame that it's happening during an election cycle because, listen, no matter who wins, we've got to make sure we have an FBI we can trust. And right now, Jay, I don't think we have that.
All right, we'll be back with more, including your phone calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget, also support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that by logging on to ACLJ.org or responding to our emails. Any amount you donate, we really appreciate it. Again, ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. He handed out immunity to protect the Clinton team from prosecution. He put President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton's political legacy ahead of the law. He made secret deals to destroy evidence, thwarting congressional subpoenas. That's called obstruction of justice, and it's a crime. President Obama's FBI director violated the law. He violated his oath of office. It's corruption at the highest level, and it's time for the FBI director to go. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to get into, we're going to get to right back to your calls in a minute, but I want to get into some of the dispositions of the candidate, the positions of the candidates on Syria and how they would do it. And they're very different, and it's a little bit nuanced, but I think it's important for us to take you through this. Hillary Clinton on the no-fly zone, which, by the way, Chris Wallace pushed her on pretty heavy because there's a lot of the military analysts are saying not such, it sounds like a great idea, but may not be such a great idea. Here you go.
And I'm going to continue to push for a no-fly zone and safe havens within Syria, not only to help protect the Syrians and prevent the constant outflow of refugees, but to frankly gain some leverage on both the Syrian government and the Russians so that perhaps we can have the kind of serious negotiation necessary to bring the conflict to an end and go forward on a political track.
And then Chris Wallace pushed her very aggressively on this issue of a no-fly zone and Russian engagement, which is something we're concerned about in the region. This is number 86.
If you impose a no-fly zone and a Russian plane violates that, does President Clinton shoot that plane down?
Well, Chris, first of all, I think a no-fly zone could save lives and could hasten the end of the conflict. I am well aware of the really legitimate concerns that you have expressed from both the president and the general. This would not be done just on the first day. This would take a lot of negotiation and would also take making it clear to the Russians and the Syrians that our purpose here was to provide safe zones on the ground.
Let me just say that that was the non-answer of non-answers. I mean, what do you do if a Russian aircraft engages in your created, U.S.-created safe zone? And she's saying, well, we'll have negotiated that to be not a problem. But, you know, Jordan, nobody knows if that'll be a problem or not.
Yeah, it's specifically when it comes to Russia. I think if a Syrian plane, President Clinton would shoot it down. The Clintons have never had a problem with shooting down airplanes and in the Middle East, and they've done that. I mean, yeah. You know, they've done no-fly zones in Iraq under right. President Bill Clinton. But on the Russian question, it's different. That's why he asked Russia, not any plane, right. Not Syrian plane. That's kind of an easy one to say, okay, yeah, right. We'd shoot that. Because what are they going to do back? Nothing.
Right.
But the Russians, on the other hand, that's a could be potentially a huge international. I mean, that didn't happen during the Cold War, where directly we were firing on Russian plane. We may have... in Vietnam, there may have been Russian pilots in some of those Vietnamese planes, but it was technically we were fighting with the Vietnamese Viet Cong. We weren't fighting with technically.
It was, those were proxy wars.
Russia.
Yeah, those were
this
proxy wars.
This would be a different situation. And I think if you're going to say you're going to do a no-fly zone, you have to say it's a no-fly zone. So if they violate it, yeah, they get shot down just
she
like any other
that.
Place. And she won't go that far.
Yeah, let me to be fair here, this is an interesting point raised by Donald Trump on the Assad overthrow. Something we've said about who would be behind that? Who would be the next one coming in? Could it be worse? Here's Donald Trump, number 84.
But if they ever did overthrow Assad, you might end up with as bad as Assad is. And he's a bad guy. But you may very well end up with worse than Assad. If she did nothing, we'd be in much better shape. And this is what's caused the Great Migration, where she's taken in tens of thousands of Syrian refugees who probably, in many cases, not probably, who are definitely, in many cases, ISIS-aligned. And we now have them in our country. And wait till you see, this is going to be the great Trojan horse.
There you go. So very stark contrast of positions there. All right. As we said, it is Friday. We like to get as many calls as we can. Let's go right back to the phones, Logan.
Yeah, let's go to Renee in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hey, Renee, go ahead.
Hey, Jay. I just have a quick comment.
Yep.
As a millennial LDS voter in Utah, I was listening to your comments about Evan McMullen.
Yep.
And I just wanted to kind of chime in for everybody in my kind of circle of people. Everybody I know is voting for Trump. I think there are people out there in Utah who are going to be voting for McMullen. I don't know how accurate these polls are, but there is a population in Utah that tends to go after like-minded people, like the Mitt Romney voters and Evan McMullen. They'll vote for somebody.
Interesting. Mitt Romney has not endorsed McMullen, and there's some thoughts on why that is. But I mean, it's whether does McMullen want it or not want it. But it sounds
like what Renee is saying is that. The polls, though it could be a bit off, and sometimes they do. People have not loved saying Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton in phone calls, so maybe that helps a real third party challenger. But that it's a legitimate, it is a legitimate third party challenger. There is a feeling there that she doesn't know the folks. There's a feeling that there is a group that is going to go for McMullen.
Yeah, and let me ask you this, Renee. So you're a millennial, you're LDS, and you're looking at Trump as your candidate, and you're saying your friends are saying basically the same thing.
Yes. Everybody I know, like in my personal circle and family and friends, they're all voting for Trump.
Okay.
I think we're more not so voting for Trump, but against Hillary.
I got it. Okay. Point. Well, no, look, I mean, I appreciate you calling in. It's interesting. I'm glad we are able to get you on the air because we're trying to figure this out as well. And that's a very interesting comment. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Hey, Than, McMullen served on Capitol Hill, correct?
Yeah, he did. I know him a little bit. He's a good guy. He's not a guy that you would probably expect to run for president, Jay. I mean, he's only 40 years old. But listen, I mean, Renee actually made the point here. Evan McMullen is not going to be the next president of the United States. Let's say he wins Utah, and let's say just by some chance both of the other candidates don't get to 270 and it goes to the House. You know who the House is going to elect? The House is going to elect Donald Trump. So Evan McMullen is an anti-Trump candidate. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think even he would tell you he wants to give voters who don't like either of these candidates another option, and he's focusing on Utah.
All right, let's go ahead right back to the phones, Logan. Who's next?
All right, let's go to Catherine in Washington on line 4.
Hey, Catherine, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, I'd like to say, first of all, that I'm reading Unholy Alliance. I've learned a lot, and it's a wonderful book.
Thank you
and
very much.
Also, the Jay Sekulow Band is wonderful, and I speak for many people
who
want to have another concert online.
We're going to do it. The guys are out. We did a kind of a best-of concert last week where we took some of the best-of highlights that we've done over the years, over the last couple of years, but the guys are out touring, the guys that do that for a living, so the Johns are both out. Mark Townsend's out with Reliant K, John and Schlitt and John Elefante are out doing events. So, but we will be back in this, hopefully in the next week or two. So there you go. But go ahead with your comment.
My comment is that there's a lot of talk that people don't believe the polls.
Yeah.
So one of my Facebook friends decided to run their own poll this morning. And after 50 people answered, there's probably a lot more now. There were 2 for Clinton. There were 2 independent and all the rest for Trump.
Yeah.
But when you talk to people, all the people that I've heard say, we don't like either one of these candidates. Why is it that that's all we have?
Well, it's all we have because that's the nature, and you've got some independents running too. It's all you have because we live in a constitutional republic and you have primaries. But you want to say something, Logan?
I was saying, Catherine, it's true. There's a lot of people who surround yourselves, obviously, with like-minded folks. It's like if we do a poll.
Yeah.
When we did a poll for who people were voting for in the Republican primary, I could at least say, there's a good chance our base is probably going to be voting in that primary.
Yeah.
For this, if I said who's voting for Hillary Clinton or other people, it's going to be pretty skewed.
Yeah.
But you're right.
We'll start doing the poll next week. The polls are very
interesting.
Now, I will say this. It's because it just came out in our studio. Donald Trump's in North Carolina right now. You don't have to believe every specific about a poll. You know, if it shows 4 or 5 points, it means tied. That all those polls say that. You know, in the fine print, it says this is a margin of error. But you can watch where the candidates go.
Yes.
So if Donald Trump right now, as I'm speaking to you, is doing an event in North Carolina, which he is, that means everything his campaign is telling him says you have a, you are, you could lose North Carolina, you could win North Carolina. So you're going to spend time in North Carolina. Yeah. If you start seeing anybody go out to Utah, for instance, that means they really do believe that either Hillary Clinton could pull it out or Donald Trump could lose it. So you can, even, you don't have to believe every specific of the poll, but just watch the candidate movement and then you'll know what states are in play.
Let me ask you this, Dan. Do you, I think that Donald Trump does underpoll. He underpolled during the primaries. Now, whether it's enough to make a difference, I don't know, but he did underpoll during the primaries pretty significantly.
Yeah, I do think he does. I think it's because he changes the electorate. I mean, he's going to have some crossover appeal. He's going to have some independent appeal while at the same time losing a traditional part of the Republican base. Listen, I think all things considered, if Donald Trump could climb to within 2 or 3% in Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, I think this election could go either way. The problem for him right now, if you look at each of those states, he's a few more points behind than that. So I'm not saying he has to catch up in all of them in the polls, but I do think he has to close the gap to have a chance.
I do remember, and don't forget, Brexit. They were saying it was 4 to 5% was going to go against the vote, and it came out exactly the opposite.
That's a vote.
I know it's a straight popular vote.
I think Donald Trump can do keep it very close to the popular vote, but when you look electoral map, there's a bit too many states in play right now for Donald Trump. He doesn't have enough givens of the swing states. Hillary Clinton has got more, and I think that's why you're going to see a consolidation.
18 days left, though. You're going to see them in
5 or 6 states each.
Yep.
That will tell you, and there may be 5 or 6 slight variations of those. That'll tell you which ones they believe are the most key for them. They
I know Trump is going to Virginia on Saturday.
They can't go to 25 out of the 50 states anymore. They got to really hone focus down. Now, the fact that Donald Trump's going back to Virginia is interesting because the campaign has pulled out the reason. Well, that's what the reports have been. Yeah. Tim Kaine being on the ballot, of course, a Virginia senator, and the fact that it's been a very tough state for Republican presidential candidates for the last 2 previous election cycles.
Yeah, so we'll see. All right, we come back. It's the round where we take all of your calls, as many as we can do. We'll do that at 1-800-684-3110. And Logan's still taking comments as well via our social media team.
That's right. A lot of people commenting in, and that you can get here in as well. Facebook.com/JSeculo Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow. Lots of comments coming in. I sounded befuddled there. I read a comment that was very interesting that I'm sure we'll get to in the next segment.
All right. We'll be back with more, including your calls. But also, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. If you appreciate what we're doing, you can do that at aclj.org. Like us on Facebook. I've got a page. ACLJ has a page. Jordan has a page. Even the Jay Sekulow Band has a page. Do that at aclj.org. You can get the links there. Back with more, including your comments and calls in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. He handed out immunity to protect the Clinton team from prosecution. He put President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton's political legacy ahead of the law. He made secret deals to destroy evidence, thwarting congressional subpoenas. That's called obstruction of justice, and it's a crime. President Obama's FBI director violated the law. He violated his oath of office. It's corruption at the highest level, and it's time for the FBI director to go. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Take a loan for free. This is the round where we get to all your questions in a pretty quick succession here, and we're going to start right away. Logan, let's go right to the phones.
Yeah, let's just go in order, guys. Let's go to Jordy in California first.
Hey, Jordy, you're on the air.
My question is, do the good people of Utah who are going to be doing the write-in vote for, I forget his name.
Evan McMullen.
Do they understand that that vote could very well mean a vote for Hillary in the end?
Yes, they do. I think they do.
In Utah specifically. Yes. Yes. They don't want Donald Trump to be president. So they don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton in their conscience, but right. It gives them an option to kind of make sure. And in their mind, it's they don't want Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And they believe that even though there could be issues with 4 years of Clinton and the overall long-term picture of America is you keep someone like Donald Trump out. That's just I'm just telling you the opinion of how people are rationalizing this to each other. I'm not telling you that's right or wrong. And I get your concerns because there are some issues that don't get rectified so quickly in 4 years, like the Supreme Court, for instance. Yeah. Necessarily.
Right. All right, back to the phones.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to throw a comment in. This one's for Than that said, hey, Jay, first-time poster. I just want to say I'm writing in Joe Maddon. He's the only proven leader I saw on TV Wednesday night. That's the manager of the Cubs. So,
what do you think about that? What do you think about that, Than?
That's from Bart in Chicago.
And I'm a Cub. We cannot endorse candidates for public office, but I can endorse a sports team. As someone that lived in Chicago, I am a Cub fan. So,
this year, at least.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Than? You should feel good about that.
I come from a Dodgers house.
I'm wearing my Chicago Cubs Believe band right now. I'm showing it to you right now. I'm wearing it right now. That's how diehard I am. I've been listening to it since I was a kid. So go Cubbies.
There you go.
Jordan's got a more difficult problem though because he's got...
In my household, we still have the belief that the Cubs will do their usual Cubs.
Yes.
And they'll go back to Chicago tomorrow and then everything
will... Well, let's take someone who I'm surely thrilled about this conversation. Let's go to Paul in the Bronx.
All right, Paul in the Bronx. Sorry, New York Yankees, not so good. Go ahead. And you don't like those Dodgers, those bums that left New York. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Jay.
Yay.
First, thank you. Thank you so much for standing on behalf of the Christian community.
Yeah, sure.
I appreciate
thank you. Yep.
It's a comment, actually. I hear a lot of talk about all these polls back and forth about this poll. And to me, I cannot rely on the polls simply for the fact that there is so much backlash that a lot of people are getting when they say they're standing for Trump. I feel there's a lot of individuals, hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe.
Oh, I think there's.
Thousands.
I think he is clearly underpolling. That's why you're not seeing bumper stickers with Trump. You're not seeing many for Hillary either, I might add. But I do think people are afraid to say it because of the way the media has handled the campaign. So I don't think this thing is over. If I was on Donald Trump's team, I'd be running like I'm behind. If I was on Hillary Clinton's team, I'd be running like I was behind because that's how you run presidential campaigns.
I think Hillary Clinton's biggest issue in. I don't know why the media is doing this because I do think that the media is biased to the left always. But this overplaying that it's over only hurts Hillary Clinton.
All right.
And only because it makes people not show up. They think, the election's over. So I don't need to go vote for Hillary Clinton if you're a Clinton supporter because she's going to win this. And I think they're overplaying that to some extent. And she's letting them. Now, maybe that's a narrative building a couple weeks before that Trump is over, even though they know he's not.
Yeah.
They're trying to steal. They have not delivered... The final blow has not been delivered.
It has not been. There's no knockout punch to the Trump campaign yet by the Clintons. I agree with that.
Let's try to get some more calls in. Let's go to Barry in Oregon.
Hey, Barry, go ahead.
Barry, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hey, I appreciate everything you do. I learn a lot from you guys. Hey, real quick. Hillary was talking about raising the cost of living up to $15 an hour.
Minimum wage.
Minimum wage. That's going to hurt all of us. You know, people don't think about it.
I think from a policy standpoint, that's a giant mistake. Than, is it getting much play up in Washington? I mean, you know, people say we get living wages and all this, but somebody's got to pay for all this. And it's usually small businesses that can't afford it.
I think this was a bigger issue in the Democrat primary, quite frankly, and I think Hillary Clinton's position on it was pushed by Bernie Sanders. There's going to be a contrast there. I don't think it's going to be one of the top-tier issues that decides the election, though, Jay.
And the debate, and folks, also the debates are over. I don't think you're going to see it coming up a lot. Let's go ahead and grab another call.
Yep, let's go to Pedro in Washington.
Hey, Pedro, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. I love your work you did for Planned Parenthood there, the victory over that.
We're still fighting on it. We've had a couple of big wins, and we were in court 2 days ago on again, so... still fighting away. Go ahead, Pedro.
Great. I have a comment in the question. You know, I heard earlier in the show about the 3%, you know, shift for Donald Trump, you know, if he wins some of the state. And then you guys just talked a little bit about it, you know. And, you know, and as a believing Christian, you know, I thought, you know, people are hearing what Hillary's saying, you know, about pro-life, you know, and abortion and Planned Parenthood and stuff like that, you know. How can we as
well, they are. On the abortion issue, Pedro, I'm going to say it again. I don't endorse candidates here, but their positions are very, very, very different. And finally, in that debate 2 days ago, it came up, Jordan.
Yeah, it did. And you're going to feel, you know, certain ways. I think Pedro's calling out from Washington State, you know, more blue state. Yeah. We're in a red state right now. So you get these different feelings based off that. It's really more about these purple states. And we get those callers as well.
What are the purple states right now as you see it? Virginia, clearly.
I actually think Virginia's a shoe-in for Hillary Clinton. If I was Donald Trump's campaign, I would be spending time like he is right now. North Carolina, Florida, Ohio.
Yep.
He's got a slightly there, so maybe you don't have to spend as much time there. Yeah. I don't think Pennsylvania's it hasn't really been for Republicans in a long time. Yep. If you can force a Democrat to spend money there, great. But I think Hillary Clinton's got like a 6-point lead there. So find some other states. Go to the Midwest is what I'd be telling Donald Trump. And make sure you're not going to lose Georgia. You know, if you see Donald Trump showing up in anywhere in suburban Atlanta or anywhere in the state of Georgia in the next week, then you can start believing the polls.
Yeah. I did talk to friends of mine in Georgia and asked if it was as close as people think it is. And two out of my three friends said they think it is very close within the margin of error. One said, no, he thought it was still clearly leaning Republicans. The other two said it could go either way. That would be a huge shock. And
it's a heavily Republican state. I mean, at the statewide level, every office is held by a Republican.
Yeah, that would be a big shift. All right, let's go grab another two calls here, Logan, in 2 minutes.
All right, Steve in Littleton, Colorado.
Hey, Steve, go ahead. You're on quick, please.
Quickly? Oh, sorry. I've been trying to get a hold of you forever.
All right, you're on the air.
Thank you very much.
Hold 5 minutes.
It's very deplorable that Hillary Clinton has to be running for president.
She got the nomination from her party.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not a deplorable individual. I've been supporting Trump since the caucuses in Colorado, and that's now over 4 or 5 months low.
How are you feeling about the race right now, really quickly? Colorado could be a swing state. It's just, what do you think?
I really think people are not saying what they want to do.
Okay, well, I think we're hearing that a lot. So we're going to, two more Fridays, and then there's a vote. I mean, it's hard to believe, but there we are. All right, let's go ahead to the last call, Logan.
All right, Lindsay and Boise, you're on the air quickly. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for what you do. My question is, if Director Comey committed obstruction in a faux investigation, would it be possible to reopen the Clinton investigation?
Yes. I mean, there's
Donald Trump said he will.
Donald Trump said he would, and there would be nothing. That depends on who the president is, of course, but there's nothing preventing it. She wasn't found not guilty. It's not double jeopardy like in a court case. So, no. Quickly around the horn here. If the election was today, Than, where do you think it goes?
I think Hillary Clinton would win by quite a bit, actually, in the Electoral College.
Yeah, it'd be a blowout.
You think
Hillary
so?
Clinton right now, as today, because of the negativity Donald Trump's gotten over the last week and a half.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, so I think that means, and my view is,
but don't
Donald
let
Trump
that stop you from voting.
I mean, here's the thing: we're giving you the
still
reality check
days.
To where it is. There's 18 days left. A lot of things can change. I think Trump's campaign has got a lot of ground they got to make up. They better get to it. We will see, but I do think there's under polling, and we'll see about that too. All right, folks, have a good weekend. We will talk to you Monday. Hard to believe weekend's over. Weekend's here. All right, everybody. Go Cubs.
FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.